and talk, okay?
Amy, do you think Alice could handle this? Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. My name is Mrs. Bartz, and I'd like to know your names. Come on over here. So you can talk into the microphone and everybody can hear what your name is. We've not met before. Okay.
Adrielle.
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 Maya.
And Maya.
Isaiah.
Isaiah.
Alyssa.
Alyssa?
Alyssa.
Alyssa. Alyssa, I'm sorry. You know what? My ears aren't what they used to be when I was your age. Okay. I want to talk to you this morning about transfiguration. That's a big word. But today is Transfiguration Sunday, okay? So, in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, it tells us that Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he told them that they may face some difficult times. And they thought, that's kind of weird, because they were already facing difficult times. They had already left their families and their jobs. Some of them left their jobs, too, to go with him and follow him. So him telling them they were going to face difficult times seemed a little strange, because they already were. And he told them they were going to see his glory, and they didn't know what he meant by that. So they were really confused. And then 6 days later, oops, wait a minute. I forgot to do something. Okay, let's get this iron going. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. 6 days later, the Bible tells us that he went up onto mountaintop and he took with him Peter and James and John, who was James's brother. And while they were up on the mountaintop, the Bible said Jesus was transfigured. Do you know what transfigured means? What do you think it means? You got any ideas? Okay. Transfigured means that you are either changed in appearance or the shape could change. Okay? Either in appearance, the way it looks, or the shape could change. The transfiguration of Jesus, though, was when his glory was made known to the disciples. They didn't understand his glory and who he really was. And so we know now that Jesus and God were one and the same. Jesus was fully God, but they thought he was just a man. So when he was transfigured up on this mountaintop, all of a sudden his clothes got really, really white and his face was shining really, really bright, almost like the sun, and they could hardly look at him, and the disciples were scared. Would you be scared? Would you be scared if something like that happened if you were up on the mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Scared? I think I would. What about you out there? Huh? Hello? Yeah. I think I would. I wouldn't know what was going on. And they didn't know what was going on. And God spoke to them, and he said, "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." And the disciples were hiding their faces, and they were so afraid. And then all of a sudden, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Get up, don't be afraid." And they looked up, and he was the same again. He was the regular man. Okay? So I brought something with me that I want to show you. This looks like a plain old piece of paper, right? Think of a plain old piece of paper. Nothing special about this piece of paper, but it has a special message on it. And you can't see it. Can you see it? All right, well, I'm going to show you something. You can barely see it. How about that? Plain piece of paper, right? All right. Let's see what happens. Watch. It might take a minute. It's going to take just a few minutes. Can you see?
I see. It's changing.
It's changing. All right. Starting to get somewhere now. Okay, here we are. I think maybe we can read it. If we do it longer, it'll be even darker, I think, but I don't know that we have
Elijah,
much time.
You can't see that.
Okay.
There.
Let's see. you see it? Somebody read it to me. Can you read it? No.
This is my...
It says, this
is my son.
Can you see that word? Listen
to him.
That's right. Listen to him. This is my son. Listen to him. We transformed this piece of paper, didn't we? And even though we weren't up on the mountaintop to hear God say that, we know that Jesus is with us, right? You can feel Jesus with you maybe when you're sad sometimes, or when you're really, really happy and you give praise to God. Right? You think so? Yeah? So God wants us to tell other people about him. Not only does he want us to listen to him, but he wants us to tell other people about him too. Okay? You remember that? Okay, let's have a prayer. Will you repeat after me? I'll say a part and then you say a part. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Dear God.
Dear God.
When we read about Jesus' transfiguration. Big word. Sometimes it is hard for us to understand. Help us to see your amazing power and glory so that we may know you and so that we may tell others about Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning.
I've been practicing at home, so hopefully I can slow down some. But I do talk fast and I read fast, so I'm going to try to slow down. The New Testament reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18, and can be found on page 180. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened, indeed, to this very day. When they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil is still there, since only in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. From this comes from the Lord of the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Okay, let me condense this, because I know I have a tendency to talk for a long time. I want to condense this to three main points. Not a lot of scripture here, but it is powerful scripture. It is powerful scripture that we have seen made evident and manifest in these kids and in the activities that this church, the ministry that this church is doing each and every day. And that is how we reach out to people and share the love of God. Transfiguration Sunday. You see the light of God. Shine the light of your love. Shine the light of your grace on us. What? That we might be saved. See, the light of God is not just to light up the world. You know, you walk into a dark room and you flick the switch and the light comes on, right? So you can read or you aren't going to stumble. But the light of Christ is in this world, not just so that we can see what's going on around us, but so that we might see it in a different light, that we might see it in a light that transforms the world around us from people that aren't like us, that don't look like us, that don't speak like us, talk like us, and have other differences, so that we see them in a different light. We see them in a light that transfigures them to a part of what Christ is. You know, the disciples had walked around with Jesus for a long time. Some accounts maybe a couple of years, some accounts less than that. But they'd never seen him in that light. They had never seen Jesus in the light in which he was bathed then. Why? Why do you think that was there? God wasn't ready to reveal himself totally to them. He'd been preaching. He had performed miracles. He'd fed thousands. He'd done all of these great, wonderful works. But he's coming close to the time in which he's going to reveal his ultimate purpose and his glory and his purpose for being there. And that is to what? To save us. To bring light into the world. His body which is given, the blood which is shed, that's what we celebrate. But Paul, writing to the Corinthians, and this is the second letter to the Corinthians. Anybody who's a biblical scholar knows that there were probably at least three letters. We don't know what that second one said, though it was in anger, supposedly, to the church at Corinth because of some of the misdeeds that they were conducting. But the second letter, 2 Corinthians, that we have here, chapter 3, verse 12, since then we have such hope that we act with great boldness. Jesus comes into the world so that you might have hope, that you might have a hope for things that you haven't seen yet, that you're going to be persecuted. Just as Linda said, they were being persecuted. Jesus was preparing them to understand that persecution. They would act with great boldness. And so many of the disciples and so many of those early Christians did not recant, did not, even at the pain of their own death, forsake Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 14, since only in Christ is it set aside. Only in Christ do we see the full glory of God. It's only in Christ that we see that which is wonderful and glorious and truly beautiful. In spite of the fact that I've seen many, many beautiful sunsets. And I've posted a few photos of them. But there's more glory than that. There's more wonder. There's more joy. Verse 17 and 18 are the key points here. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If Jesus Christ says you're free, then you're free indeed. This light of Christ, this light of the glory of God, is there to free us from the darkness and despair that comes with the deadly things that happen around us, and that darkness and despair which brings us to death. Jesus brings us freedom and light and hope. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image with one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. The final point. We refuse to practice cunning or falsify God's word, but by the open statement of truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. This Wesleyan Study Bible, John Wesley had a number of core themes, one of which is liberty. In verse 17, when he talks about being free, when you think of free, you're not constrained. You're not held captive. You have the ability to make decisions. You have the ability to choose and move freely. Liberty is often no more than the illusion of the powerful. In Sermon 62, the end of Christ's coming, Wesley calls it independency. When you're free, you're no longer dependent upon anything. You're no longer confined or restricted. The very thing that men in general so earnestly covet under the name of liberty. Such liberty overlooks that we are never self-made or free persons. We owe our lives to our parents, our language to our communities, and our success, for good or ill, to the people who have contributed to it. The liberty that comes with the Spirit of God is different. It liberates us from the sinful distortions of our lives, like the unconscious bondage to ourselves, and from our warped relationships. Freedom from sin implies not independency, but freedom for a new life in relation with God and other people, including those whom we have not noticed before the Spirit of God begins working in our lives, but on whose backs our lives are built. The Word of God was meant to set you free. The Word of God was made to illuminate you, to show the glory of God, which is His love, His mercy, His presence. And we celebrate and receive in communion a small taste of what it cost Him. Shine the light of your grace, Lord. Shine on me. Shine on thee. Shine. Jesus, shine. Shine. Jesus, shine. As my Eastern Shore and people from the island of Tangier would say, shine, Jesus, shine. Shalom.